I am in a great mood today. It's beautiful and sunny. I don't have to wear my parka around all day. There's something about the sunshine that really lifts our spirits.
Yes.
It's incredible for your mental health. One of those simple things is just having a little sunshine on your skin can really turn your day around.
Definitely.
I know. But it seems like you've been indoors for quite a while today.
Yeah, I started out the day changing my spark plugs outside, got a couple hours worth of sunlight and sweat, and then, yeah, indoors for the rest of the day.
And the fact that you know how to change your spark plugs really impresses me right off the bat.
Thanks.
Good for you. Well, this week, I have a couple of things on my mind, and it's interesting how there are no accidents, because I was coming in listening to the TED Hour, and they were talking about creativity, and I was all about creativity this weekend, because my daughter competes in a program called Destination Imagination, which is the world's largest creative thinking competition. And it involves about 350,000 students from around the world participate in this competition every year. And it ends up with a global finals in Knoxville, Tennessee in May. And the whole premise of the program is to give the kids a problem, a general problem in a category, either a scientific category or a building category or a theater category. And they are given kind of a broad outline of what they need to solve, and then they come up with a solution. Whether it's build a tower as tall as you can, only with balsa wood and string. And then you have to create a skit to present a story about this tower that you created. So it draws on building capabilities. It draws on creativity in writing a script. They have to make costumes. They have to develop the story. And it's quite impressive what these children from elementary school through high school, actually through college, come up with this very broad solution. My kids do an improv problem every year where they're given a broad outline of a story. A dramatic change happened, and they had to show what happens to the characters in their story after the dramatic change. So they had 5 minutes to come up with an idea. They had T-shirts and that they got to use as costumes, and then they had to tell an entire story. It's amazing to me the level of creativity that these children get to share. And I also have a profound sadness because unless we as parents get our kids involved in programs like Destination Imagination, there are very little opportunities and outlets for them to express themselves creatively. Were you involved in any of the arts when you were growing up?
I was involved in music very much, actually, yeah, since fourth grade. Third grade.
What's your instrument of choice?
Now it's the upright bass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I started on clarinet back in fourth grade. Wanted to be a saxophone player, and they said I was too small to hold one.
So how do you think your involvement in the arts and music shaped who you are today?
Well, I'm not really sure. It's helped my creativity, I'm sure. But other than that, I'm not really sure.
You don't even know all the ways. We're going to talk about it a bit today. And I invite your calls to 781-3875 if you'd like to talk about your experience with creativity, if you were listening to the TED Hour and had some thoughts about creativity from that, or if there's anything else that's on your mind this week that you'd like to talk about, maybe something that came up over the week from our conversation last Tuesday, or something that might be going on resonating in your life right now about your life or relationships that you'd like to talk to a therapist about. I really believe that if we talk about these things together, the things that we struggle with, I think we mostly have similar things in our lives that hold us back or keep us stuck. And so I love the opportunity through radio to share our life story, our adventures or our struggles or our triumphs or our concerns, because if we can talk about them together in this context, we have the opportunity to kind of normalize some of the things that hold us back. So I encourage you to call in and share your story, 805-781-3875. I'm Elizabeth Barrett here with Brian, and Greg is answering the phones. So creativity is one thing that was on my mind. And the topic that I had posted on Facebook, on our Reluctant Therapist Facebook page this week, was about technology and how in many ways technology is making us sick, making us emotionally sick. Our mental health suffers from our use of technology. So there is this eruption that's happening in our culture with how technology has come in so quickly and so overwhelmingly taken over our lives that we haven't had a chance to process what technology means to us or how it's changing our life or what we might have given up that we had before with technology. And so I really want to talk a little bit today about our use of technology in our lives and how it impacts us, and how we can monitor how technology comes into our life and not allow technology to become our life, which is where I'm afraid I see us going a little bit. And it's interesting because there's so many creative ways that we can use technology. I keep reading about 3D printers. Have you heard? Which I still don't understand.
I don't either. I have to see one in person to really understand what
it
does.
I even see stories and I still don't get it. They're making human organs, and oh my goodness. Yes. So I know nothing about it. So there are some ways that the creativity from technology is out of this world. But in many ways, we are sacrificing some of our basic human needs towards technology. And the thing that I had to say is that the irony of this technology comment was not lost on my 16-year-old daughter, who's always watching everything I do, when I posted on the Reluctant Therapist Facebook page that we would be talking about technology and how it's making us sick. She instantly commented, "How ironic that you're posting on technology about technology." And I said, "Oh,
it's pretty funny.
Caught in the web." But I encourage you to check out our Reluctant Therapist Facebook page if you get the opportunity and share your thoughts about this. Hi, Maria. You're on the air. What's on your mind today?
Hi. I'm very interested in what you were saying about destination imagination. I've had the pleasure of having kids that have participated in that program. And one of the things that saddens me is that in order for programs like that to continue, we have a lot of kids that are interested and want to participate, but we don't have enough adults sometimes to help guide them. And I don't know how to increase people's participation.
I think that's a great comment, and I really appreciate you calling in with that, Maria, because that's one of the things that holds back a lot of our kids' opportunities right now, is that we are so busy as parents and families, and we have so many things on our plate that it's hard to prioritize what areas we're going to put our energy or time into for our children and in our lives. And it does sadden me also, because I have been a part of this program for almost 15 years, and it's been the same small group of parents who've been team managing and working with the kids throughout most of the program's time. And if we don't have more parents that are willing to take on the time commitment or that see the value in helping their children experience these creative outlets, then these programs too will die off, because clearly we're not seeing an increase in the arts in our schools. We're seeing a decrease. And then programs like Destination Imagination flourish in certain areas. In Texas, Destination Imagination is part of the school curriculum. So it's clearly flourished there. The kids do well. They send a lot of teams. But unless our school districts can get behind and support these kind of programs, it's going to be very difficult for them to continue. And so I'm not sure where the creative outlets will come if programs like these cease to be available. You know, when I started with Destination Imagination, there were so many teams that we had to have the tournament in Santa Barbara. And there were teams that came from Ventura, from Rio Grande, from San Luis Obispo. And now we're a small but mighty group of about 25 teams that are mostly from the five cities, Napomo, Rio Grande area. And a few have started to come down from the San Luis Obispo area. But, you know, where are all those teams from Monterey and from South Bay Area or from King City? You know, there's a lot of really creative children who want the opportunity to express themselves, and we just can't seem to make it happen. So then what's our alternative? And that kind of leads me into the idea of technology and how we have fully embraced this world of technology since it took off, because it's very pacifying. Like, what kind of technology do you use?
Well, I got the laptop and a smartphone and the internet. That's pretty much it.
No, what is this?
Oh, you're doing video game signal?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe sometimes on occasion. But.
Okay. But you're not going to lose days and days to...
No, it's part of my past as a kid growing up with it. Sometimes it's fun to go back and revisit it. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't say I rely on it. I definitely use it, and I haven't tried living without it myself.
I haven't gone on a technology fast.
And unless we go camping, which is fine, and we don't miss it then.
Yeah, because you're so busy and involved in what's going on in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at the risk of sounding like my grandmother, who spent a lot of time when I was younger telling me how sad she was for my generation because it would never be as great as it was when she was growing up. The world had changed. And so I refuse to be that person with my own children. But I can see maybe where she was feeling anxious or sad for the loss of the way of life that she knew it, because I'm feeling very overwhelmed with the change in how technology is used in my children's lives. You know, in the positive way, we'll say the obvious. It's great to be able to be connected. I love being able to text. It makes me feel more safe about where my kids are. Love that. I love the Skyping. You know, I have Facebook. We have our Reluctant Therapist page. I do email. I'm in there. But I also remember a long period of time in my life where I had none of that. And so I can appreciate the sun on my skin still and the beauty of going for a walk in nature. And I'm afraid that the students that I'm teaching now, who are in their early 20s, have grown up not knowing a life without technology. And so the part of me that now is sounding like my grandmother wants to wave a flag and say, oh no, you'd have no idea what you're giving up. Because if you don't continue to stay connected to the earth, to nature, to human interactions, there's going to be a whole part of you that never develops fully, that you'll be kind of stuck in only being a master at one area of your life, which is all up in your head, because technology really kind of keeps us in our head. So I don't know. I mean, I'm just clearly not going to be able to put the genie back in the bottle. Technology is here. And as I said, I have a lot of ways that I'm really partial to my technology. But I'm concerned about the addiction and withdrawal symptoms that happen when students are asked to forego technology for any period of time. So, you know, one of the things that I do in my classroom is I have the students do a 24-hour technology fast. Have you ever done that? You said you haven't.
Yeah, unless, okay. Like I said, unless we're camping or...
So a technology fast is to shut down everything that has to do with your computer, television, internet, all connections that are technology, and to just kind of get involved in your life in that way.
Would you include a coffee maker in that list?
No, I'm not that bad. Okay. And it's funny because I also will allow iPods as long as they're only listening to music, because I think it's awesome to be out running and listening to music. So that's okay. Just anything that kind of takes us into our head. And it amazes me how much anxiety comes up for the students in anticipation of the fast, how many can't make it 24 hours and have to write on their paper, I couldn't make it. How many of them feel like they need to email and contact all of their contacts to say, I'm just going on a technology fast, please don't drop me from your life, because they have a real fear that if they weren't to connect on Facebook for one whole day, that the friends they have, their Facebook friends, would somehow forget them and drop them. That always surprises me. Hi, Nick, you're on the air. What's on your mind today?
Good afternoon, Elizabeth. I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I look forward to calling in.
Oh, good.
I don't think my topic is not directed too much toward technology and creativity as much as the challenge for parents nowadays to allow their children to find their own creative outlets and directing them to find a creative outlet. I think that it's challenging for kids to learn how to be introspective and find out what they really, really like and what makes them feel good. And I think the parents have to have something to do with that, mm-hmm. but not expose them kids to too many activities such as that.
So what do you
think? Go ahead.
What do you think would be an ideal way to introduce children to activities so that they'll be curious but not feel overwhelmed?
Well, I think if you, as a parent, have an interest in a creative outlet, then you can direct them in that manner. For instance, I was on the road and I turned the radio on and your show was on. And I have loud exhaust pipes on my truck. So I had to pull over to the side of the road and turn my car off. But unfortunately, I love the sound of the dual exhaust. Mm-hmm. So I found that out through my parents who are interested in automobiles. And from that, I took an interest in automobiles and became creative in that area. So I think it's just a difficult task. So I think exposing the kids to something that you like or various activities in the community, but struggle, I think, is to not expose them to too many things, so they just become have a superficial interest and really don't develop what they really, really enjoy and makes them feel good. I think that's a real tough thing to do this nowadays.
I agree, and I really appreciate your call, Nick, because I think as a parent, one of the struggles that I have is wanting my child to have a full experience in her life and wanting to tap into something she might be interested in, but not overwhelming her. And I think there are a lot of things competing for our children's attention right now. And I think also along with that, I think you started to talk about, is that there's such a push from the time our children are in preschool to get them ready to go to college. You know, that's what we have been talking about for the last 20 years. Everything's about getting into college. What classes? I mean, the preschool that you go to sets you up for the elementary school you go to, that sets you up for the junior high. And if you're not in the right classes in junior high, you don't get the right classes in high school. Brian's shaking his head. You relate to this?
Yes, I remember in sixth grade trying to line up my plan all the way through college.
Yes. I mean, how overwhelming is that to expect a 12-year-old to have any sense or idea of what they're going to be when they're 25 or 30? They can't even comprehend what 25 is at 12. It just feels old. So we have so much pressure on our children from such an early age that it starts to become a matter of not being allowed to be creative because there isn't time when you have to have tutors and you have to be in the right classes and you want to be challenged. And then you want to take the right dance class or a music class, whether or not you're really interested in those things, it's what you need for college. And so along the way, there's so much pressure to be able to get into the right college, right? Because apparently there is a right college and a wrong college, that our kids now are afraid to fail. Because if they fail at anything, they get a grade that's lower than a B, or if they flunk a test, or if they don't get picked for a varsity sport, or they don't get the lead in a dance recital, if they fail, and none of those are failures, but in their mind, if they fail, they now have lost the opportunity to go to a good college, which means they won't get into a good grad school, which means they'll never marry the right person, and it just continues to be a life of stress and pressure. And then for me, what I see as a long-term playout kind of goes into this technology with so much pressure, with so few opportunities for our kids to express themselves creatively, they find themselves hiding in technology. And I start making the game things where I think a lot of the video games and being on Facebook all day and, you know, chatting, it's distraction. It's a way to distract themselves away from what's going on in their lives. It's so much pressure, they really can't focus or they feel overwhelmed by it. So they remove themselves from their real life thinking, dreams, imagination that they don't feel free to explore and find themselves hiding in technology that then overwhelms them. And I'd appreciate your thoughts. You can give us a call at 805-781-3875. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. We're talking about creativity. We're talking about technology. We're talking about anything that moves in your life that feels important to you and you'd like to talk about. It's 218, and we'll be back to take your calls.
You're listening to The Reluctant Therapist. That number again is 781-3875. That's area code 805-781-3875. Coming up at 3 o'clock on the next Fresh Air, how the food industry has hooked us on their products. We talk with Michael Moss, Pulitzer Prize-winning New York Times journalist, about the addictive quality of much of the processed foods we eat. His new book is Salt, Sugar, Fat. Join us at 3 o'clock for Fresh Air. This is The Reluctant Therapist. That number again is 781-3875. Call in and join the discussion.
And if you're having trouble getting through, Greg's going crazy on the phone, so please be patient. We will get to you. I'd love to hear what you have to say. And, you know, Brian, I want to talk about the technology and connection, because what I started off talking about was how we feel in some ways disconnected from our lives because we're so involved in keeping up with our Facebook page or keeping up with texting or keeping up with emails. You know, I know my husband has a BlackBerry that's with him all the time. And ever since he got that, I feel like he, you know, works a lot more hours. And he's pretty good about putting it aside. But, you know, we've done a lot of research in the social sciences about the impact of our lives being wired all the time. And what we're finding is that our brains are adapting to all of this technology, you know, that in ways we didn't expect, our mind is like a computer. And so it's taking in as much information as it can process. But what we're not getting, because we aren't computers, is the downtime we need on a daily basis to process everything that goes on in our life every day. And without the time to reflect, to dream, to imagine, to just sit in quiet, if we don't give our brains, our bodies, our psyches that downtime, we see increases in anxiety, in depression, in mood disorders, in ADHD behaviors, in compulsive disorders. They all now can be directly linked to not taking the time to be quiet, to turn off, to separate, and to really engage in our own thoughts and processes. And we should be worried about that. Hi, Amy, you're on the air. Tell me what's on your mind today.
Hi, I'm actually calling about the point you just made about the pressure that we put on kids with college and, you know, at like such a young age, having to focus on what their dreams are. And it's actually something that's really hitting close to home for me right now. The big thing for me has been the fear of failure. And, you know, I didn't end up going to college, and I've ended up doing a lot of different side jobs, but now I'm an entrepreneur and working towards that, and I noticed that there's a lot of, like, almost lack, either a lack of motivation sometimes, or just, and I think it relates to the fact that I'm just so afraid that I'm going to fail again, or that I didn't live up to, oh, my mom's expectations of going to that certain school, or, oh, I wanted you to be a vet, and you're not there.
Right.
And I just really wanted to tell you how much that really hit close to home for me, and how important I think that it is for people to realize what they're doing to kids when they take away that ability to be creative and kind of just enjoy life as a kid.
Yeah. And what I hear in your voice, Amy, is that part of you hasn't been able to enjoy the success you're having as an entrepreneur because there's still this voice in the back of your head that you didn't quite go where you were supposed to.
That's exactly true. I mean, my boyfriend and I recently had a discussion about this, and he wanted me to be more persistent with my pursuits, and I just feel like, well, I didn't do this, so I'm obviously not good enough, and you know, it affects my life.
Absolutely.
So, I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
No, I was curious about the fear of failure thing, because one of the things that I homeworks that I give to clients often is to choose something to fail at. And fail gracefully, fail fully, just full on face flop in the failure, so that fear of failure can be released. And I'm wondering if there's some area of your life that you wouldn't mind taking a chance on and maybe just falling on your face, like taking a dance class or doing something that's totally out of your comfort zone. Can you imagine something you might try that you could totally fail at and that'd be okay?
Actually, yes. We recently signed up for the San Luis 5K, and I just find myself like not much of a runner, never have been, and so it wouldn't surprise me. I've been kind of beating myself up about it. Oh, I can't do a 5K, and you know, I think I can, but it's like, do I really want to? You know.
And if you train and train, and you end up, you know, not finishing, that might bog you down. So I'm gonna give you a challenge, Amy. I want you to go for the 5K. I want you to buy all the workout clothes and get a headband, be fully vested in it with a number on your chest. And I just want you to go for it. Win or fail or finish or not, I want you to just throw yourself fully into it. And whatever happens, just say, you know what? I put myself out there.
I thank you so much. I really think that that's the best approach for me right now.
And then you call me and tell me how you did.
I will. I love your show. It has brought a lot of big positive changes to my life. So thank you.
Thank you, Amy. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Hi, Jen. You're on the air with the Reluctant Therapist. What's on your mind today?
Hi. Well, I really like the topic for today. I feel very strongly about disconnecting from technology and getting out in nature. I'm a river guide, and the whitewater outfitter that I work for, you know, we often take groups of kids down the river. Mm-hmm. And usually that includes school groups. So, and I've told this story many times, I think it's a good example, that there's this one group we take down every summer, and they're from a very wealthy school in Southern California. Very, very, very privileged kids. And we always dread taking this school group down the river because they're just, they don't appreciate it. And there's nothing worse than you know, taking them out in nature and bringing them down this beautiful river with beautiful scenery, and they're sitting in the boat like, oh, why doesn't my cell phone work? You know, when is this going to be over? And we're in a pretty remote location where there's no way they're going to get cell phone reception anyways, so why concern themselves about it? But they just can't connect. Yeah. And then to contrast with that, there's another group we take down of kids from a school in from the Central Coast, and they are very underprivileged. And, you know, that's not to say that just because they're underprivileged they have less technology, but let's face it, if you come from a very poor family, you're probably not going to have things like an Xbox or an iPhone. But that group of kids, those underprivileged kids, I've never been in a boat with young people before where we're going through a calm part of the rapid and they just, it's quiet.
Yeah, they're
taking
it in. They
don't feel like they have to say anything.
Right. They're in awe.
It's just quiet and they're listening to the sound of the river. There might be the occasional comment, you know, oh, wow, look at the rocks floating by when we're in a shallower section or something. And that really, really hits home for me. And, you know, the other thing about those really privileged kids is they don't seem to have an instinct for survival. Yeah. You know, if we bump up against a rock or, you know, they get jarred around, they just freak out and they're screaming and they think they're going to die. And there's no logic or sense of awareness that's going on behind their eyes. It's really remarkable.
And I'm so glad you called and brought that up because that was along my line of wanting to talk about technology and creativity and connecting with nature. Because one of the things that we found also in the last few years is that we've seen a rise in this syndrome we're calling nature deficit disorder. Are you familiar with that, Brian?
No, but I think I can understand what it is.
Yeah, it's our children are growing up with a fear of nature because they haven't spent enough time out there in the dirt, hanging out, playing, feeling free, smelling, you know, the grass or getting sunburned, like, mm-hmm. you know, we did. And again, for the risking sounding like my grandmother, I do think that's one of the things that we're really going to have to face in the next generation is if we've raised a whole generation of children who spent the majority of their life indoors, how are we going to keep them vested in nature? Like Jen was talking about, you know, if our children don't appreciate nature, how will we help them learn to protect it or appreciate it or be safe in it or understand it? It's interesting when they talk to young children about why they're afraid to go outside in their backyard to play or why they're worried about going to a park. They'll say, well, I'm afraid of a bear getting me or a shark attacking me. And that's so out of the realm of what could possibly happen. But their experience of nature from a young age are things on the Nature Channel, you know, or movies they've seen. So they don't have a realistic view of really what nature is all about. And we should be concerned. Hi, Rick, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. I love your subject and your conclusions.
Thank you.
During the 1960s, I went up to Big Sur and lived up there for a period of several years. And a lot of the people who came there, including myself, were all basically escaping from the very materialistic culture of the time and trying to find our connection to nature.
Yeah.
And so We lived in little cabins in the woods or camped out, and it generally would take about a month after somebody got there to totally disconnect from the outside world and completely plug into Big Sur, which was a very remarkable place at the time. It was, you know, well, it's still remarkable today, but back then it was even more pure. And what we found is that we could come up with all the entertainment, everything that was necessary. We could do it ourselves. We didn't have electricity. We made our own music. We cooked really basic food. We spent lots of time in the woods. We learned to go barefoot again. We swam naked in the rivers. We basically made our connection with nature and our natural selves, and it's completely informed everything I've done in my life since then. I've been working to save the environment. But I think what you're saying is really important, because I think with our very, again, materialistic society, we need to go through that exercise that this time we need to do it for real, and we need to do it all over the world.
I so agree with you. And Rick, I appreciate you taking the time to call today with that, because if we don't keep reminding ourselves that there are alternative ways that we can make our life work, we're going to, by default, follow a path that's been laid out for us in a very linear fashion. It's one of the reasons I talk about being the reluctant therapist, because what I've seen in the 20 years of doing this work is a homogenized, I'm not going to be able to say the word, Brian, so I'll have to throw in, making the same human being, that our goal is to create all people in the same light. Our schools are making our children, you know, learn these through the standardized tests. We've gotten rid of the areas of their lives that they can be creative. We're sending them down a chute to colleges that now in many ways have lost their ability to be creative, because they're trying to churn out graduates that can go into high paying jobs, because that seems to be where our focus is. And then the heartache for me is when I end up seeing these people as clients, young people, young couples that feel overwhelmed, that feel disconnected, that are dissatisfied with their jobs, that their marriages are struggling because they aren't unified. And it's because we're pushing people to live one lifestyle, which is in support of a high-paying job and a high mortgage and a car. And we have to talk about, like Rick was, alternative ways to make our lives work. But we've lost that ability to be creative in our lives because we weren't encouraged when we were young to be creative. So what do you think about this? I'd love to hear your thoughts and opinions or ideas or your questions or concerns about what's going on in your life, in your relationships. Our number here is 805-781-3875. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and we'll be right back to talk to Steve.
That number again is 781-3875. You're listening to The Reluctant Therapist. Here's a brief break to check out the KCBX Community Calendar. The San Luis Obispo Little Theater's Academy of Creative Theater spring classes for young performers begin next week, and registration is now open. The classes are available for kids of all ages and run once a week for 9 weeks. For all the details, go to the community calendar at kcbx.org. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's Fresh Air. At 4 o'clock, American Public Media's Marketplace. And at 4:30, it's All Things Considered. That's all coming up here on KCBX. The number again to speak with Elizabeth is 781-3875.
So how timely is it that we talk about the Children's Academy at Slow Little Theater, another great outlet for the arts?
Yep.
It's great to encourage our children to try things out, and we don't want to overwhelm them. But another thing, a little parenting word of wisdom for my parenting friends. And I know, Brian, you are very close to emerging into your new task in life as a parent. But one of the things I caution parents about is, if one of our jobs is to help our children discover their gifts, find out the things that they're interested in, find out the ways that they're talented, because everyone has things that they do well. And it's finding that. And I think one of our earlier callers talked about that. And one of the mistakes I think parents make is they get so vested in their children being good at something that they don't recognize maybe that it isn't their child's gift. If you watch American Idol, do you?
I don't.
Oh, play along.
Okay.
You've seen the commercials for the auditions, and these people have no business being in there auditioning to be an American Idol. But clearly in their lifetime, they had parents who said, "You are the best singer ever. You should go to American Idol." And these are not favors we do for our children. It's really important to be able to say, "Honey, I love you. You have a lot of gifts. This isn't one of them. Let's try, you know, cooking or badminton." But we need to be able to tell our children when they're going in the wrong direction, because otherwise they get to a point where they're not finding their gift, and they wonder why they feel so frustrated in their lives. So a little parenting tip. Hi, Steve, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to address being overwhelmed with technology, and I've been able not to do that. And I guess it's, in a way, it's kind of unique since I'm a computer tech. I go into people's homes and businesses, fix their hardware and software. And yet, long ago, I decided not to even answer the phone on the first ring, that knee-jerk reaction from long ago. I'd have to answer it. I stopped doing that, and one thing led to another. The cell phone is always handy, so I'll answer that if it's convenient. But even with computers, I mean, that's what I do, and I've even counseled a couple of people not to buy a computer. But I counsel them to not let it overwhelm them, you know, not to have it so that if they lose the computer or lose their phone, it's a tragedy.
Yes.
You know, paper and pencil work well lots of times.
I really appreciate you calling with us, especially being in your field, because you probably have firsthand experience. You might have to start a sideline business counseling people who go through grief when they lose their, you know, their system crashes.
It's so bad.
It is, and people feel despondent, or you know, they start to feel anxious if they can't get online and check their email. So you might have to take some counseling courses.
Well, you know, one thing that they don't do, and God, I wish everyone would learn this, because it makes me feel sad when people lose so much, either from their phone or their whole computer. The most important thing, above all, is just to back up. Mm-hmm. Just to back up, and they know it. A lot of them know it. Oh, that I do is too much trouble. But that's the one most important thing to reduce the stress on your life when computer will fail. Oh, one more thing.
Yes.
Computers, a hard drive or the general computer, it's not a matter if it will fail. It's only a matter of when. And that goes for cell phones, too, in many ways, whether you lose or not. So it works for me. It doesn't have to run your life, and it's my business, and yet I've been able to separate myself from it, and so I just thought that might be some encouragement.
I appreciate it, because if someone who's in the field realizes that it is a tool, it's not a way of life, and I think that's what the mantra we need to start talking about, because technology isn't going away, clearly, Steve, right? It's going to be here forever, but it needs to be treated like a tool. It should be kept in its toolbox like everything else and pulled out when we absolutely need it. And my fear is that because of the fear of failure, because of the pressures of our life, because we feel like we need to be in the know all the time, it's taken over and it's no longer a tool. So I appreciate you taking the time to call in.
Oh, sure. Oh, one other little side note.
Yeah.
Changed phone companies, and one bought out another. So I had to get their phone. And I got just the cheapest one, you know, the flip kind. It looks old, but it still had internet and texting on it. I called the phone company and said, look, take off the texting, take off the internet. I don't want to deal with it. If I want to be on the internet, I'll go home and go somewhere. I don't want it to follow me around.
Now my kids are rolling their eyes at you, Steve. But have a great day. Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome. Bye.
Hi, Mi Young. You're on the air. What's on your mind today?
Hi. I just wanted to kind of chime in and affirm what you said about kids and kind of parents having a path paved for them.
Yes.
I think that just it's a combination of all the things that have been discussed, and I think if we learn to turn off all of the electronic devices and all that, more than just having downtime, I think it will give kids an opportunity to take a moment and be grateful for some of the things that they are involved in. And then when you observe that gratitude, as a parent, then you can kind of see where their passions lie, and then you can kind of run with that and, you know, help cultivate what their kids are really interested in, not just the things they're participating in, but the things that they're interested in.
I love that idea. So if we allow our children the time to talk about the things in their life that they're passionate about, they'll let us know where their interests lie.
Right. And, you know, and they don't necessarily, when they're young, I'm a parent of two elementary kids, and they don't necessarily know how to communicate what they're excited about. But if you kind of observe them, and when their eyes light up and They really spend a lot of time doing one thing, mm-hmm. and hopefully it's not video games, then you can tell, oh, they're really interested in that. So then I'm going to see what other avenues there are in, for example, my older son is involved with reading a lot. He loves to read. And so whenever there's a chance to work with him on his story writing or making presentations in front of classes, things like that, that really excites him. But that's not the case for my younger son. So, you know, when everyone all around just kind of turns off all the devices and takes a moment to just observe and see what we're grateful for or what we enjoy, then I think there's a better path for our kids as individuals, not just what we would like them to become.
I appreciate you taking the time to share that, Myung, because I think that holds true for a lot of parents that are struggling to figure out, you know, how do I balance? I'm making sure my child is prepared for their life and has everything they need to be successful, but also has time to enjoy their life and just be a kid. And I think as parents, there's a lot of pressure on us to make sure we're doing everything all the time. But I think we need to put as equal amount of pressure on ourselves to allow our children to reboot. I'm just going to use the computer term, to reboot every day, to turn things off, to disconnect them. And as parents, it can feel overwhelming because the kids will fight back. They'll throw a tantrum. They'll get angry when their technology is taken away. And we have to be the adults about that and also be concerned that when our children are that involved in something, that they have a tantrum when it's taken away, then that's a clear sign they need to be removed from that activity or that technology for a long enough period of time that they can get engaged in something else. And when it comes to the video games, you know, I have a lot of feelings about that, and I think that's another show. But one of the things I encourage you is to look for video games that include activities, and then you can expose your children to those activities. But I don't know. I think that's a whole other issue we're going to be able to talk about in the weeks to come. Hey, Jason, you're on the air with a reluctant therapist. What's on your mind today?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
Good. Hey, so I'm 23 years old. I wanted to talk about, you know, back when I was, like, you know, probably 8 years old till I was about, you know, get into high school.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a time you could get me in the house to do anything, you know. There's no way I was going to go in the house and play video games, get on a cell phone. I was outside from the time I got out of school till, you know, dark, playing basketball, playing football, playing baseball. And all my friends, you know, we all did that. And I just think it's crazy how, you know, nowadays you don't see anyone outside playing basketball. You don't, you know, I have a 14-year-old brother. I go pick him up from school. Not one kid's playing a single sport. They're all sitting on the lawn with their iPhones, iPads, you know, their little video games, you know, and then they go home and that's all they do still. And I just think it's so crazy.
So what do we do?
I keep asking myself. I have an iPhone right now. I mean, obviously, you know, that's the thing to have. But, I mean, I didn't get my first cell phone until I was 17 years old. 6 years ago, my little brother's had a cell phone for 4 years.
Right.
He's 14, you know, and it's like, I don't know what to do. I mean, I guess all I can do is when I have kids, you know, try to change that way. But, I mean, my kids won't have cell phones till they absolutely need it, you know. If I'll get them a cell phone and they can only use it when, you know, if I'm out of town or if they go somewhere, that's, you know, they're going to be playing sports nonstop. That's the main thing I can do.
So what we need, Jason, is more people of your generation to stay connected to nature, to stay connected to exercise, right? To stay connected to themselves so you can pass that on, because I'm seeing much of the same things you are. And my fear is that we're losing connection to our abilities to communicate, to interact, to connect. And so I think the only way we're going to be able to fight this is to have enough people refusing to follow the social norm. Because I think what's happened is that technology is the ultimate marketed tool. It's great to see the ads. It sucks us in. It makes it look like every app is necessary or, you know, we can't live life, right? We've been marketed like rubes, to be honest.
I It's crazy.
Yeah, so we've been led to believe that we need these things to function. So we as adults now have passed this belief down to our kids. We've accepted this new life as a good thing without questioning what we're giving up. And so you need to hang on and fight, and we need to be really vocal about it. Really vocal.
Definitely.
Yeah, I appreciate your call, Jason.
All right, thank you so much.
Take care. You're listening to A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and we're talking about technology. We're talking about creativity. We're talking about how do we reduce the amount of mental health issues that are connected to our lack of creative outlets. We see higher rates of depression, anxiety, mood disorder, ADHD symptomology because we're too overwhelmed with the amount of information we're trying to take in daily. And I have to say, parents, I'm a little disappointed because a lot of this, almost all of it, funnels down from you being too busy to pay attention to what's going on with the kids, because it's so convenient to give them an iPhone and let them entertain themselves so you can get some work done, or throw in a video so you can talk to a friend. And these convenient distractions aren't helping the mental health and well-being of our kids. They're not. And I feel for everyone because our lives are busy, but I feel more for our children because our busy is keeping them from really being able to fully develop as individuals. So Brian, you're on your way to having a new baby. What's going to be your policy with technology and your kids?
That's a tough question. I've over the past however many years since smartphones have become popular, see kids at restaurants playing with their parents' iPhone all dinner to keep them quiet or occupied, and then watching DVDs in the back of their cars. And as I'm watching this and have a baby on the way, I'm thinking, I remember using my imagination when I was in the car with the family, or focus on what the family was doing at dinner and not, or playing with the G.I. Joe and using my imagination with that instead of zoning out and watching or playing a video game. So I think we're going to try and limit technology with our child and not have DVD players in the cars and have that be family time or playtime, imagination time. And same with restaurants. And
because the restaurant is where we're trying to model social behaviors for our children. Mm-hmm. So when we take our children out to restaurants or to family dinner parties, it's important that they learn how to sit and be social with the family, to sit in a chair, to talk with their grandparents or to who is at the table. If we don't model these behaviors for our children, they won't learn them. It's not something you pick up on the street,
right?
We teach them. So if we as parents are on our iPhones or smartphones or BlackBerry at the restaurant, then we can't expect our children are going to grow up and learn to be conversationalists. And then they will lose that ability to connect with others. Because unless we are in situations to use those skills, we lose the opportunity to develop them. The same way, I love the thing about the DVDs in the back of cars. There is an amazing amount of connecting that goes on family road trips. And the thing I hear from parents now is, oh my gosh, it would be miserable to be on the road. If they didn't have the DVD, they'd be fighting and, it would be disruptive and no one wants to watch the same things. But that's part of the journey of being in a family, right? It's messy. It's loud. You argue. You build these memories. And when everyone's strapped in and listening to different things, they're not connected. You're in the same car, but you're in different worlds. So then why do we wonder that our kids are struggling the way they are? Why do we wonder why we feel depressed or anxious if we are in the same room but completely dissociated from those in the room?
And not just disassociated with the people, but with your surroundings and the nature and the world that's out there and around you that we take in every day, or don't if we're focused on the technologies.
I agree. Well, what do you think about this? We'd love to hear your thoughts. Our number here is 805-781-3875. We'd love to have you join the conversation. And this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And because I do have ways that I love technology, you can join the conversation on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist, or through email, elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. And we'll be back to take your calls.
You're listening to The Reluctant Therapist on KCBX. That number again is 781-3875. We have 10 minutes left, so we can take a couple more calls. Coming up at 3 o'clock on Fresh Air, linguist Jeff Nunberg considers linguistic anachronisms in recent period dramas like Downton Abbey and Lincoln. That's coming up at 3 o'clock on Fresh Air. That number again to call and talk with Elizabeth is 781-3875. That's 781-3875. And Elizabeth, we have a follow-up question from last week's discussion.
Oh, okay.
Which was about suicide. Somebody called back because they weren't able to get through last week.
Mm-hmm.
And their question was how to keep your teens motivated and prevent them from falling into depression or suicidal thoughts.
I'm glad that someone called in with that because I don't know if we got to talk about it. And teens, like all humans, need some of the same basic things to feel connected to their community. So what we found, one of the best ways to help teens stay out of their head and stay out of this place where they can feel depressed. I mean, it's overwhelming being an adolescent. There's a lot of change. There's a lot of pressure. So helping teenagers find meaning in their life, and one of the ways that we find meaning in our life is through giving back to our community, making a contribution. So helping your teen find a place where they can give their time, whether it's tutoring young children or helping out at the senior center or working, you know, out in nature, planting trees. There are a plethora of ways that teens can give back. And when we get out of ourselves, we are better able to let go of those things that we think are overwhelming us. So that's one of the things. Also, our children, and again, going to their conversation, teens need an artistic, creative outlet, something that gets them outside, you know, making sandcastles or skateboarding or riding bikes, something that builds their self-esteem and confidence within an activity, creative of any kind, cooking, learning a skill, learning to be. There's a million things. You know, we need to help them find a place, and we need to expect them to follow through, because parents tend to become more passive with teens, because when teens start to feel angry or depressed, they push back and act like they don't need us anymore. So it's tempting to back off and say, okay, you do whatever you want. That's absolutely the time as parents that you need to step in and hold them accountable, have expectations, get them in the car and drive them to the activity, do the activity with them. It's so important. And then work on downtime. Make sure they have a little bit of time to unwind every day. So I really appreciate that call. And the other thing I wanted to bring up, Brian, we were talking about, you know, communication and technology. And the thing that we have given up, one of the things we've given up, if we're trying to teach our children skills they're going to need to be successful, is the art of communication. Because that skill is what makes or breaks our success as humans. And 65 to 85% of our communication comes in the nonverbal. Like right now, you and I are talking and we can see each other through the window.
Yep.
And being able to look each other in the eye adds a whole nother dimension to what words we're saying. But when we text or, you know, do email, you know, even if we have emoticons, we're not really getting the same nonverbal connection. We can't reach out and touch each other or smile or really feel the energy going back and forth. So we're really only getting 35% of communication when we do it all through text or we do it all on the phone and we don't talk face to face. And so I read this great thing this weekend about texting and our use of technology to interact with each other is like living on a white sugar diet. Where you crave it more and more. The technology feels like it's going to feel so good getting on Facebook, you know, liking our friends and feeling like we're connected. And yet it never satisfies us. We never feel full, and we actually feel worse the more time we spend on it. So just knowing that we have to work towards developing our communication skills is really important. They're not just going to happen if we don't fight for them to happen. So Christine, you're on the air. Tell me what's on your mind today.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have to say I am so grateful that my children grew up with me in a time before our lives were run by cell phones, or they could be. As an adult, I love my smartphone. I don't have to turn on the computer to check my email. I text my friends. I just texted my HR director about my work status today. It's a wonderful technology when it's used correctly. And we do have times when we just throw the phones and everything else on the couch and shut the door and ignore everything. Growing up, the kids camped and hiked and played in the fields. And as you were saying, I want to reinforce the time in the car just going to and from school or to practice or to some event is such an important time. You have a captive audience, and it hurts me for the children that I see in the car with mom who's talking on the phone or dad driving them somewhere. There's so much that could be, such a relationship that could be built without that distraction of the phone.
Christine, thank you so much for calling with that thought, because it is some of the best conversations parents have with their children is in the car. And our children are most apt to tell us about what's going on in their life right after school. So that is the most important time to put away the technology and just be there, because once their kids off-gas the experience of their day, they're done talking about it. And it's the same with our spouses. The minute they walk in the door, that's the time we need to turn everything down and just look at each other for 5 minutes. If you want to build good mental health, you have to carve out the downtime, the quiet time, the time that we're going to be together, because no one's going to give you that time. No one is going to say, hey, here's the hour that you're going to put away your phone and just hang out with your kids. You have to steal that time. And that's what we need to concentrate on, because nothing on television is going to say, now it's family time. Nothing in your daily life is going to say, hey, here's your 5 minutes to hang out with your spouse. You have to fight for and grab that time when you have it and make it a priority. And if you don't model that, just know that the life you live today is the life your children are going to choose to live. And that should be the take-home message from all of this conversation about creativity and technology, that we as adults model for our children in the next generation what kind of things to value in their lives, because they don't know. They're learning from us daily. So you have to take charge of what's happening in your life and with your children in order to make the connection to nature happen, to make the conversations happen. Because if you allow them free rein with technology, there's no reason to stop it, because it's addictive. It feels good. We love to be online. We love to zone out. We love to be able to just put our minds to distracted mode. But if we spend our life killing time, we've lost our life, because our life happens in the moments that we spend dreaming, imagining, being quiet and just letting our thoughts come up. So I invite you to think more about this and incorporate it into your life, or to continue the conversation on my Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist, or through the email, elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. We'll be back again next week to continue this conversation, and I invite you to join us. I appreciate everyone who took the time to call in, and know that there is a lot of therapeutic benefit to sharing this community of radio, and I feel thankful every week that I get to be a part of it with you. So thank you, Brian and Greg, for holding the phones in the room down.
You're welcome.
And thank you for listening to local public radio, Caring Talk for the Central Coast, The Reluctant Therapist on KCBX.